Oh, wait, are we going? I never know when we're going. Now we're going. We're going. Yay! I don't have music anymore. Sometimes I play music and sometimes I don't. It depends on my mood and how lazy I was that week if I prepared music. So, hi, everyone. Welcome to Date Fails. As you know, I'm Kate Quigley. I'm so happy today because I have my homie, one of my favorite people in the world, and former co-host of Date Fails, Stephen Kramer Glickman.
Yeah, what's up, baby girl?
And now I feel like you were always a superstar, but now you're like a huge time superstar because you're Pigeon Toady in Storks.
Oh, thanks, Kate.
Dude, the movie is so good.
That's very sweet of you.
But also, and you know this, and I know you know this, or you should know this, but you are like the best thing in the movie.
Oh, jeez.
You really are the best. If you guys haven't seen Storks, you've got to see it. So what, it's not in theaters now anymore?
It's out of theaters today, I think was the last day it's in theaters. And then in about a couple weeks away, we'll get it on DVD. So it'll be out on DVD pretty shortly.
You're so...
Hopefully just before Christmas. That's
yeah,
a big hope.
Yeah. I hope so. Yeah. That would be a great Christmas gift for
everyone.
Oh,
yes, it would be.
You know, even grown-ups,
absolutely.
By the way. Okay, I want to hear all about... Because we never really talked that much about... I know a little bit about how you ended up working on Storks, but talk about it.
Well, I mean, like, it was a... You know, I got a job doing scratch... I auditioned... to do scratch vocals on the movie, which is like the rough draft voice on the movie. And me and a bunch of other people got cast to do like scratch, which doesn't pay a lot, but it's like a fun job. And you go in, I'd go in and hang out at Warner Brothers, and I would do like this funny voice. And I would just, you know, originally I think I was in like 6 or 7 scenes in the movie. And then by the time the movie came out, I think I'm in like 28 scenes in the film.
Were you doing Pigeon Toady the whole time?
The whole time.
Scratch?
Yeah. And they would just, sometimes I'd come in and we'd improvise and like play around. And other times, you know, they'd get inspired by something weird that I said and then they'd write new stuff. And
so cool.
And then, you know, like it went from, you know, like there were days where I'd come in, it'd be me and the two directors and the editor and the sound guy. And then the next time you come in, it's like me, the two editors, the sound guy, the producer, this guy, that guy, the head of casting. And then they just kept filling the room up with other people. And people would like want to be in the room for my session because it's a weird character and I'd be trying to make everybody laugh, you know. And so
it's a hard role, I think, actually.
Yeah, well, it's weird. It's a weird part because the character's really annoying. Like, he's a really annoying character, but he's also really funny. And
he's kind of charmingly annoying, though. Like,
sure.
He's lovable.
There's like some good to him. He's like, you know, like one of those guys who says yes to everything because he wants...
he wants to fit in.
He wants to fit in so badly, but then secretly he just kind of wants to be in charge. You know,
I mean,
we know those people from stand up. You see them all the time.
We are those people.
Yeah. But like, you know, like if you're at a club, at one of these clubs, and you're hanging out, there's always someone who's just like yes anding everything. And then, you know, secretly they're going to the booker and being like, I think I should book my own show here where I'm in charge and then I rule everything, you know, and you're like, what? It's like that kind of weird character that you see around.
I didn't expect him to sound so, because I had seen the photos, or not the photos, but I'd seen, you know, pictures of Pigeon Toady. And of course, it's so cool because the ads for this film were all over LA, and your name was on everything.
That was crazy.
Yeah, like at the Grove, I'm like driving through. The Grove is like a mall in LA, like a huge mall in LA. It's very popular, and I'm driving through the parking deck of the Grove, and on every level, there's a
like
Storks
Stephen
ad,
Kramer
and it says your name is Pigeon Toady.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, so I saw all those, and I thought he looked like he was going to be... I thought he was going to be the villain just because the way he looked in the...
Yeah,
in
he looked
the
really
ads.
Angry.
Yeah, he looked kind of... And then when I heard the voice, I was like, oh my God, he's kind of like a wacky... I love the
voice. Yeah, he just kind of sounds like this. Like, it's very unassuming. Well, that's the thing is, like, when you hear, like, if you heard a voice of a bad guy and the bad guy was like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to murder you tonight. You're like, you'd be like, oh, that's a scary... That's a bad guy. You know, yeah. That's old-fashioned. But... But like when you take like you know, like if you do, if a bad guy sounded like this, you know, if this was the bad guy in a movie, like you wouldn't expect it, you know.
Yeah.
Same thing with Pigeon Toady. It's like that weird like Long Beach kind of surfer, like you know, like that guy is not, you would never think this guy is out to rule the world,
oh,
you know.
My God.
So it was like fun. It was like fun and weird. And what was bizarre for me, and this is just a weird experience, Kate, that I've never experienced before, is that like the longer that I worked on it, like every time there'd be these surprises, you know. So I went from doing scratch to getting the actual part, and
which
then,
is amazing,
insane.
Got to be so rare.
Well, because
for
like
that to happen,
it never happens.
Yeah,
almost never. So it was like me, because like, you know, I think after Robin Williams did Aladdin, and then I think when Mike Myers did Shrek, really kind of locked that in. They stopped having regular voice actors who do like cartoons and stuff do all the leads in the animated.
Yeah, it's
movies.
Always like huge
movie
stars.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake, Anna Kendrick.
Right.
You know, it's always people like that. And so what they with Storks, what we got really lucky is Warner Brothers just realized that they had some talents that were a little undiscovered. So they kept me. They kept Katie Crown, who's the main girl, who is also a scratch vocalist.
She's great too.
Yeah, she's amazing. And so is Anton Starkman, who was the little boy in it. But then the rest of the cast was Andy Samberg, Jennifer Aniston, you know, Key and Peele, Kelsey Grammer. So I mean, I got to work with Kelsey. I got to work with everybody.
How crazy
nuts.
Was it at the premiere? Were they all there?
They were all there.
Was
yeah.
that just like so surreal? I mean, you've been to a lot of, you go to a lot more like red carpet stuff and gifting suites than anyone I know.
Yeah, I do a lot of. I'm insane. I'll go to the opening of an envelope. I love that stuff. I'll go to everything.
Right, they're like giving away chapstick at the gifting suite.
I'm like,
Quick
I'll
is like
take
taking
it.
Photos with
I
chapstick.
I love chapstick. My lips.
You know. Constantly.
So, but I mean, this must have been.
That was weird. No, it was weird. Thank God they let me do an event with Andy Samberg where we got to go together, just the two of us, and do
oh,
like
wow.
a thing for kids. And we spent like 6-7 hours in a day just hanging out.
Aww.
Which made me so much more. Like confident and like comfortable when we got to like the premiere and going to the junket and doing the, you know, the press and doing international
yeah.
press and stuff. And then what was crazy when we did all the international press, my publicist Monique Moss, who's amazing, was like, hey, you should have Glickman go with Kelsey Grammer for the day. And they were like, let's ask Kelsey and see if he wants company. And he was like, absolutely. And so like I got to spend an entire day, just me and Kelsey, doing what's it called, international press together, where it's like you, it'd be like Kelsey, me, and then, you know, India, China, you know, Norway and Sweden. And then
so
we'd
crazy.
Move to the next room and it would be like, you know, you know, like Australia, you know, boom, 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 around. And we would just sit there and, you know, Korea and try to they'd have translators, or they would you know ask us in English, and we would respond, and it was always kind of the same questions, but
yeah,
it was fascinating. Dude,
was he a cool dude?
Oh my God, the most amazing guy ever.
Really?
Oh my God, so cool. Like, okay, really quick.
Yeah, anything.
Okay, so Kelsey Grammer, when I arrived, I'd only met him once, and it was like when we were taping, and I said, hey, it's so great to be able to work with you. And he goes, have you seen any of our scenes? And I go, yeah, I have. He goes, so have I. They are very funny. And I go, right, yeah, right. And he goes, I think this is gonna do very well. And then he walked away, and I was like, whoa, that was crazy. So then we get to the international press thing, and we're sitting there, just the two of us, and they go, what was your favorite part of the, how did you come up with the voice for the thing, right? And I was like, oh, mine's based on my old roommate that I had who used to, you know, be mean to me, but he had a Long Beach kind of accent. So he'd be like, your life was a garbage pile. You know, like he would be kind of, you know, and then they turned to him and they're like, how did you come up with it? And he's like, my voice is a direct copy of Sir John Gielgud.
good, you know, or whatever, something like this, right? Very, you know, intense actor stuff. And then they go, what's your favorite moment in the film? And he goes,
my favorite moment in the film was the moment that the father realizes that there's only so much time he can spend with his son. And I'm sorry, I'm getting a little...
Eyes tear up.
No.
Eyes well up in front of the press. And he goes,
Steven, you take this. I just... That moment really hits me.
Oh. Right? And I go, it's okay. It's okay, Kelsey. It's all right. You know, my favorite film, a part of the film. Right, so I talk, right? I go, whoa. We get up out of the room. We go in the next room. And they go, what's your favorite moment in the film? And he goes,
my favorite moment in the film is when the father turns to the son and realizes that their time is only so... I'm so sorry. I'm getting all wet.
And he does it again. Eyes well up. He did it four times that day where his eyes got all teared up, like real tears.
Come on. I was like, he's an actor.
I know. And we talked about it a little bit. And he was like, that's what you do. You pick the most emotional thing that you can think of, and then you impress them with your emotions.
Wait. What did you say was your favorite moment?
I did not cry. I did not cry.
What did you say?
Well, I said my favorite moment is at the end of the film when everyone gets the babies, when they deliver all the babies to all the people.
You gave away the end of the movie?
A little bit, yeah, I gave it away, I know. Because at the end, when everyone gets the babies, it's not just... I thought it was really impressive, because instead of it just being like... instead of it just being husbands and wives and stuff, it's like a disabled couple, or a gay couple or lesbian couple. And I thought that was like, and they didn't point at it and go, look what we're doing. We're Warner Brothers. Look what we did.
I didn't even notice that.
It caught me off guard. It really did.
I did notice that the babies were all very racially ambiguous in the sense that they were like black babies with blonde hair, white babies with green hair. Like everything was very
very ambiguous.
Yeah, which I liked too. I thought the movie was so cute.
It was a really cute
movie. It was really cute.
It was a lot of fun.
How did your family react to everything?
Everybody, everyone was really cool with it. And I think the thing that started getting kind of confusing, and this is a weird experience for me, but is that I would see a new thing, right? Like you see we have, 12 billboards in Hollywood, right? And you see a billboard, I'd go, whoa, oh my God. And I'd get really excited.
Yeah.
And then the excitement would go down and I'd try to go back to living,
right? Yeah.
Then we saw a bus goes by, right? You see a bus, oh God, a bus, we have a bus,
It was amazing, it was on every bus.
You see all these things. And every time I would see something new, I would get excited, but then it would kind of slowly kind of come down and I would have to try to readjust back into my life. It was like having these like giant sparks of like super excitement, but then it would have to kind of go back down. And I think it was kind of a little weird because I think like my family loved the movie and they were very supportive and super fun. But I think they also kind of were weirded out with me sometimes because they'd be like, aren't you super excited? And I'd be like, well, yeah, but you can't sustain the level of excitement for the entire time. I mean, I was excited in my heart,
right.
but I couldn't walk around all day just going, look at me, just pointing at signs and screaming, because that's crazy. Like you try to figure out what's the balance, like how do you do it.
Yeah, I think show business is such a funny thing.
It's
too
weird.
Because it's just like, I always tell people, like when I was a kid, I dreamed of being on TV. I didn't care what the capacity was. I wanted to be either an actor or a comic or a host or just anything on TV, right? And then when I moved to LA, I remember the first time I did extra work and Tom Hanks was on the set. And I just remember being on set, seeing Tom Hanks, just being an extra,
Yeah.
And in my mind being like, holy shit, I'm doing, this is amazing. There's Tom Hanks. I'm on a set. There's cameras. I'm on a lot. Like this was, I thought it was so like the most glamorous, amazing thing, right?
Yeah.
Fast forward to like a year later and I'm like, ugh, I'm not doing extra work. Disgusting. You know what I mean? Like suddenly it becomes like extra work is like, ugh, I don't want to do extra work. It's so boring sitting around all day. You don't have lines. It's not like real money. It's not real acting. And then every little step you get,
right.
I feel at first you're like amazed by it. And then slowly over time, it becomes like, okay, I work. Like, this was a huge film, Storks. It was huge.
Huge.
And you were like,
$77 million is what the budget was.
Right.
I think it made total like $150 million somewhere in there.
And you're like 60. A huge star in it. But watch, like 5 years from now, you're going to have done so much more amazing stuff that you're just going to be like,
God,
oh,
willing.
Yeah, that was a film I worked. You are, for sure.
Yeah, but it's one of those things that, like, I loved every second of it, and every second of it I was like, this is enough, like, whatever this is plenty.
But you know what's,
like,
great
just,
about
just getting to be in the room with those people and getting to work and stuff, and like the first time they bought me lunch, I was like, oh my God, I get to have lunch with all the animators
food,
and stuff.
But,
but just getting, like, I was like, oh, I get to be part of this, like, for reals, and like all those little things. And then, you know, like last week I had lunch with the director of the movie and sitting with him at lunch, and I was like trying to not be pitchy and trying not to be like, because I was just like, oh, we both just worked on the thing. Now we're just hanging. Like, that's tricky. It's like, it's this weird thing where you don't
like pitch them another idea accidentally.
I'll give you a weird one.
Yeah.
One time I go to, and this is what I would like to be like. I'm not as good as him at this, but I was at a coffee shop and I see TJ Miller.
Oh yeah.
Terrific actor, comedian. Yeah. And I go, hey man, what's going on? We start talking. Lots of hugs, very nice, real sweet. And we talked for a little bit, and he was like, oh, nothing, just hanging, just, you know, doing stuff, just having a good time, me and my girl just having lunch. And I was like, yeah, me too, we're just having lunch too. And we talked for a little while, and I was like, anything coming up for you? And he was like, no, just, you know, just rocking it out, just trying to rock it out, trying to be good, you know, trying to do my best. And we're like, all right, get in the car, driving away. And there's the Silicon Valley billboard for the first time. I didn't know he was on the show.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do you do that? Like, how do you be on a billboard two blocks away and you don't even mention it? And I was like, that's what I should try to do.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. It's tricky because we're, as comedians, we're hustlers. Like, we're always trying to work and trying to make stuff and trying to take every opportunity. But, you know, like, I got lucky with Storks that it was such a, I was on it for 3 years. So I got to, like, relax into it and, like, have fun, and I got to do four voices on the movie.
I know.
And I got to sing in the movie.
It's
which is
so
insane.
Awesome. So I'm gonna change the topic from this, but I do wanna ask you one more thing. I do wanna ask you one
please,
more thing about
of course.
It. Because, you know, there was an article, I can't remember, was it Entertainment Weekly or some huge publication, I'm sure you know what it is, wrote an article about how you stole the movie. I think it was Entertainment Weekly. It doesn't matter. The point is, I'm curious. If you think that you'll get to do this voice again, do you think? Because I think you'll get a spinoff or something.
I'm doing some stuff. I'm going to do some stuff with
That's
Warner Brothers
dope.
Already. Yeah, they were negotiating today and yesterday. So
yes.
Something small. It's not a. I don't think it's a sequel, but it's going to be more content. More
I just
stuff
want to say
it.
That I Thank want you. A Happy Meal toy.
So do I.
I just want a pigeon toady.
You know what's crazy is the difference between like when like our studio really got behind us on this movie,
yeah,
which is great. However, we did not get action figures and we didn't get apparel. But they
I'm shocked.
They did tons of marketing and tons of advertising.
The most I've ever seen. Like, I haven't seen a movie push that hard in so long. It was like a summer blockbuster.
It was a tentpole for the studio, right? But then you look at Trolls, and Trolls has action figures and toys, and and they're on.
But
every,
they already existed.
Brand,
Trolls.
Exactly.
That's the thing. Like, you could already buy.
When it's
Trolls.
An original. Original characters, it's a little harder. To you know go for it. I think sequels usually is when you know. When you get merchandise.
It's so exciting.
Anyways.
Well, I'm super happy for you. It
Thanks,
couldn't happen
sweetie.
To
You're
a
the
nicer
best.
Guy. And the thing that I love about you, my favorite thing, and I tell everyone this, is that what I love about you is that you show your excitement and enthusiasm. Like, I get how cool that is that TJ Miller did that. And I'm similar too. Like, unless it's a good friend, like if I ran into you, I'd tell you what I'm doing. If
sure.
it's someone that I just am like an acquaintance with, I don't like to ever come off as like, here's everything I have going. But what I love about you is like something like Storks happens and you show how excited you are, enthusiastic, yeah. Which I really like, because it's like the reason we get in this business, because we're big kids and we like to play. And then you just got to have like the time of your life on this thing. And instead of being like, I'm chill, you were like, hell yeah.
Oh,
like,
I love this. I love the whole thing. Too. Anything that kind of like keeps, you know, look, I mean, I've been a big silly goose for a very long time, and I do silly voices all the time.
Yeah, like the voicemail you left me the other day, which I still want to post. So that I had a guy on social media send me a really hilarious message. If you guys don't follow me on Facebook or Instagram, you can find it there. But it was basically a guy who wrote me a message telling me that he has a penis so large that it relaxes women into like a comatose state. And he doesn't have to do any work when they sleep with him. He just lays there. And he basically asked if he could come into my studio and work with me on a project. But I'm not a porn. I don't know what he thinks I do for a living. But it was like a page long email that this guy sent me. And then he ended it saying, I'm just a regular guy who wants a wife and a family, and that's what matters most to me. I'd love to work with you or any of your friends. Like, write me back, whatever. And I posted it on Facebook, and it got, like, a million likes. And then Glickman calls me and leaves me a voicemail in some voice that was like, what was you, being Russian?
It was like a Russian Eastern European guy, and I was like, I want to tell you that I'd like to make sex with you, but you come over, I take you, and we put on roasted beets on your ass. I put the roasted beets on your ass first, and I was like, just this like weird. Also, I marry you, okay, but we have to make foot sex first. Like, so weird.
And it was like a full minute long. This
also,
voicemail.
I have great deal on the couch for you. Leather is not fake. You know, like, it's this horrifying pitch from another guy.
It was so long that I kept listening to like the first 30, 45 seconds of it and then starting it over because I was trying to figure out who it was. And finally, I played it all the way to the end, and at the end he goes, hey, it's Glickman, I got a new phone number, call me. So the whole time I'm like, who the fuck is this? Like, oh god.
When you get a new phone number, you should prank call all of your friends. That's what you do.
Now I know.
I prank called about 3 or 4 people. And it upset a few people.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was so funny. I was crying in my car laughing. I was at Coffee Bean listening to it over and over. Who is this? Who of my friends would do this? Who can...
I got a hold of one of the kids from Big Time Rush that was on BTR with me, and I wrote him and I called him and said,
Hey, this is Brian from the Brass Rail. We had like a really good time last weekend. I was just like thinking about you and stuff.
Oh my god.
Call me, bitch.
You know, whatever. And then he was like, who is this? Like,
oh, that's so
great. Don't forget. I miss you.
I know that the show is date fails and normally it's all about sex and dating, but there's so many funny things we have to talk. First of all,
you want to talk about this?
Yeah, we have to talk about. So I come in today and I tell Glickman, oh my god, I have the most embarrassing story to tell you about how I shit my pants. And he's like, I have a shitting my pants story.
As well.
By the way, I haven't told this story to anyone because it's so mortifying. Like, I can feel my face turning red.
Oh, I'm so excited about this.
Just thinking about it.
Please.
All right, I'll tell you mine first. So I headlined Ventura Harbor Club last week, and which is a comedy club. And I buy this powder called calming powder, okay?
What?
Natural Calm is what it's called.
What is that? What's happening?
Well, because I get really bad anxiety, but I don't like to take like anxiety medication because it makes me like a zombie.
Is it cocaine?
It's, no. no, that actually does not help anxiety,
not
despite what people think.
Opposite.
So it's this powder they sell at CVS. My friend Jen Sturger recommended it to me. And it's basically what it is magnesium citrate, but in a powder form, which is what they give you if you're having a colonoscopy. You drink like a liter of magnesium citrate. But in the powder form, if you just have like a teaspoon, it's supposed to just calm you. And it really works. It's amazing.
Wow.
People should buy it. But But so I called Jen the day of the show, and I was like, man, I don't know what's going on today. My anxiety is so bad. I just feel really anxious and stressed and kind of depressed. And she was like, have you been taking the calming powder? And I was like, you know what? I haven't been taking it the last few days. I forgot. Yeah, that's a great idea. I'll take some for the show. So I go home, and since I hadn't had it for a few days, I put like 5 teaspoons. You're supposed to use 1 teaspoon. I put like 5 teaspoons of it in a bottle of water, and I shook it up, and I drank it. And then I went to the show. And I was feeling better. I was feeling pretty calm. I go to the show. I'm waiting to go on stage. There's an opener, and he's got like 2 minutes left. And I get a coffee, and I take a sip of coffee, and all of a sudden, you know when you get that feeling like, oh my God, like the coffee just set something off, like, oh my God, my stomach, it hurt. It hurt so bad, and I knew I had to go. And you know when you have to go so bad, you can like barely walk because it hurts? You're like, okay, so, but I only had like a minute because the opener got lit. So I had like a minute to be on stage, so I didn't know what to do. This is so embarrassing. Oh, my God.
I love this story so much, Kate.
So I was like, maybe if I fart, it's just like gas, and I'll be fine, and I can go on stage. So I go to fart. Shit my pants.
Backstage at the club?
In the fucking showroom, waiting to go. I'm literally standing in the back of the showroom, waiting to go on stage. I have like a minute.
Oh, my God.
So now I'm like, oh, my God.
That's a nightmare.
I know.
Oh, my God.
I start, so I feel it. So I stop. So I hold it. So I'm like, oh, my God. So I run to the bathroom. I'm passing the club manager. I go, don't let him bring me on stage. I need a minute. I got to pee. I run into the bathroom, pull my pants down. Now I have like a little bit of shit in my pants, so I'm trying to clean the shit out really fast. Plus, then of course, I had to actually shit. So this is so gross. By the way, no one's ever gonna have sex with me again. So I sit,
you'd be surprised.
I sit down. Here's the worst part. I sit down on the toilet to shit, and what I forgot is I was wearing this shirt that's short in the front but it's long in the back.
No.
Yes! And the back of the shirt dips in the shit. It dips. I have shit shirt now. I have shit in my pants.
This is the worst thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
And I'm like rushing because I only have a minute.
Oh my God.
So I'm like, fuck. So I get up, I rinse the back of my shirt in the sink as best I can. It's a white t-shirt. So now there's like a brown spot.
Oh yeah, no, you're done for.
I clean up as best I can. I pull my pants up. I tuck the back of the shirt into my pants. So now I have wet crotch, wet ass crack, wet shirt in back of my pants, and I'm like just praying that it doesn't smell.
Now, were you wearing underwear and shit into your underwear, or you just shit?
I was
into
wearing
your
a G-string.
Oh yeah, so that doesn't count.
It didn't help.
That does not help.
So yes. So shit everywhere, just a shit show. Literally shit show. So I clean up as best I can. I go back out. Right as I go back out, he's finishing, and he brings me up. And I had to do 45 minutes.
Oh, no.
45 minutes with shit in my pants.
Could you tell? No. You think they could tell?
I mean, I don't know.
How far from the audience were you?
At the club? I mean, like, very. I could reach down and touch an audience member.
Shit. With your shit.
So I just made the best of it. I did the best I could. And then afterwards, I had to stay and judge a costume contest. It was
no! Oh, come on.
I'm like taking photos of people after the show. And I'm just like, I hope to God they can't smell it. But the good news is that my friend was having a really rough day that day. I think she had to put her cat down or something. And so I called her and I was like, well, I got the best story that's going to cheer you up.
Amazing.
It was the most humiliating thing that's ever happened. It's the second time in my life I shit my pants, and the last time I was 20. So it's been a while. Yeah, it was a good. I had a great set, though.
Fucking
hell. a great set, though.
That is the most incredible story. That's a repeatable story.
I'm never telling it again. This is so embarrassing.
I love it.
I'm so embarrassed.
I can't wait to tell Rachel. I'm going to tell my girlfriend. She's
I wanted to
that
fuck
story.
That night, too, and I couldn't. I had to cancel my sex plans.
Yeah.
But it's all right. Can't show up with shit in your pants.
Yeah. There's a couple lines. That's a line in the sand, I believe.
But if you shit during by accident, that's like not as bad. But if you show up with shit.
I once brought a girl home from a date, brought her home. She got into my place. She goes, can I go use your bathroom? I go, sure. goes in, uses the bathroom. She comes out. She's hanging out. I go, you know, I have to use the bathroom too. I'm going to go in, pee real quick. I walk in, and she had shit on the toilet, on the seat. So there was a piece of shit on the toilet
seat. She left it there?
Yeah, like, no, like, she was, I guess, squatted. I don't know what happened, but she shit on the seat.
In your house?
In my place,
Why
yeah.
didn't she clean it up? She didn't see it?
No, I don't know.
Was she drunk?
No, she was not drunk.
What the fuck? Who does
that?
And
I was like, yeah, this is never, we think we're good. I was like, thanks for coming by.
Someone leaves shit on the seat. Dude.
Does that?
Listen to this story. This is so funny. A girl, a comic, told me this story.
Please.
She went to hook up with a guy. She went home with a guy.
Yeah.
First time they ever hooked up. They've been out a couple times, okay? They have sex. He leaves to go to work the next day, leaves her in his place, and is like, you know, just take a shower, do whatever you want, and leave. And she's like, okay, cool. So she takes a dump in his toilet. Yeah. And then she goes to flush it, and she realized the toilet is broken. It won't flush.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So she can't get it to flush, so she doesn't know what to do. So she gets a plastic bag from his kitchen, and she scoops the poop out of his toilet. She doesn't want to leave a pile of shit in the toilet. It was the first time they hooked up. She's like, I don't want to leave a pile of shit here. She scoops the poop out of his toilet, ties up the bag. It's a plastic bag to take home with her. So then she gets all her stuff together. She gets ready to go. As she's leaving, she stops to leave him a note. So she stops, puts the bag down on his countertop, and writes him a note like, had a great time last night. By the way, just so you know, your bathroom toilet isn't flushing. You might want to get that checked. And then she takes her stuff and leaves, but she accidentally left the bag of shit sitting on the counter with
no!
the note.
Oh, my God.
And she couldn't get back in his apartment to get the bag of shit. So she left a note that says you might want to get your toilet fixed with a bag of shit
next to it. That's amazing. Is this a friend?
This is a female comic who I just met told me this story.
That's amazing.
Yeah, pretty funny.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
That's great.
I want to hear your shitting your pants story.
Well, mine's not anywhere close to as good, but I went with a friend to a place called Hot Wings. It's a Hot Wings place down the street here on Melrose. Great wings. Great wings, guys.
Shout out to Hot Wings.
Shout out to Hot Wings, guys. And I go there, and we each ordered 12 hot wings each, which is too many hot wings.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And so I had like 3 or 4, and my friend was like, I was like, yeah, I'm good. And he was like, come on, man. Gotta finish your plate. That's what my mom always said, finish your plate.
Right.
And I was like, all right. So I ate like 5, 6, 7, and he was like, come on, man. Don't be a pussy, you know? Finish your plate, man. And I was like, okay. And at this point, like, I'm starting to feel a little wheezy. And
how hot?
Sick.
Like crying hot?
Like
the hottest?
Like buffalo-y, but also a little hot. They were a little spicy. They're spicy.
Not super hot, like the
no,
hottest
No, they
wings.
Weren't like the hottest ever. But I, you know when you've had enough, buffalo wings, you know?
Apparently I don't know when I've had enough of something.
Yeah, exactly. So I had another, I think I got to like 10, and around 10, I was just not feeling great. And I go, I gotta go to the bathroom. I'm not feeling very good. And he goes, all right. And I stand up and I start walking through the restaurant and I started to sneeze. And I go, ah. And when I sneezed, I shit my pants. In the middle, standing in the middle of the room. And I like looked back at him and he was like, what just happened? Because he could tell, like, it was like a fart sneeze at the same. It was like, you know, this horrible noise. and he was like, what just happened? And I was like, oh my God. I just shit my pants in the middle of a Hot Wings restaurant. And,
the moral of the story is everyone shits their pants sometimes.
Everybody
sometimes
does.
In
folks.
Life, you shit your pants.
Yeah. It's terrible. It's a terrible feeling. It's a terrible, terrible feeling. It's probably the, like, when I'm on the way home sometimes, I live by Hollywood Bowl, and sometimes I get stuck in that traffic, and if I have to take a shit and I'm, like, on that street, it's, like, a living nightmare, because you get stuck in traffic, and you're trying to shift, push your
you're like, bleh. I have a belly. You don't even have a belly. You can't push
I
around.
I do.
But what are you supposed to push?
I can't push it around. No.
I go, no, you push
it. You move the shit around.
I try to move my body or get my abs to relax or bleh.
Oh, okay. My God.
I don't know. I try to do something.
Oh, God.
It doesn't really work out.
Don't take the shitting powder. This is a good talk.
Note taken. Note taken quickly.
So, okay, you're still with your girl. There's no update there other than.
Well, we just had it was just her birthday yesterday. And for her birthday, I took her to Catalina, which, by the way, fantastic.
Was it your first time?
No, I went with my mom when we went on a cruise, Carnival cruise, and it stopped in Catalina.
Oh, okay.
Nice. So I knew the territory a little bit, which was
so pretty.
But oh my God, what a great time! And what's so nice is for your birthday, it's the free trip back and forth.
No way! Did you go from Long Beach?
Yeah.
Nice.
So the Long Beach trip for me was like $70, like 60, $70. But for her, it was free. And then when you get out there, they're like, it's your birthday. And they give you a little birthday thing that you wear on your jacket. And then everywhere you go into, they're like, oh, it's your birthday. Here's a free cup of coffee or here's a free slice of pizza or whatever.
Well, that's cool.
We had a lot of fun. She went kayaking and paddle boarding and I got to hang out and watch her do that.
You didn't
stuff.
Do it with her?
No.
Why?
No way. Hell no.
What?
I'm not ocean friendly.
I can't see you paddle boarding, but you could kayak.
I have kayaked with her. Kayaked with her in Michigan.
And that was
not a fan. It's like sitting in like a rubber diaper in the water.
No
it's
way.
Not fun. Yeah.
It's so fun.
Oh, you like kayaking?
I love anything in the water. I love the ocean, the water, and just anything in the water.
You guys can go kayak.
I would love to.
I'll watch you kayak.
I saw you
while
on Halloween.
Drink margaritas on the beach.
I would drink a margarita in the kayak.
That's not a bad idea.
You know, that would be great. I could see Rachel and I kayaking with margarita. Your girl looks amazing, by the way.
Aww.
I saw you guys on Halloween.
Yeah, we had fun.
You were Joey Fatone, which I think is so funny.
That was fun.
And what was Rachel?
She was like a
Roman goddess.
Goddess.
She's a Roman goddess.
Yeah, she like
Greek,
made her Greek
Roman,
goddess. Yeah, like
Greek
a Greek
goddess.
Yeah, she made
looks stunning.
She made a.
I show up and she
costume.
Looks like a princess. She's all pretty and white and sparkly, and I'm dressed as Axl Rose, and I'm in my underwear. I was.
You
in
looked.
Men's
you guys
underwear.
Looked badass.
Thanks.
Like that was a very tweetable photo.
It was
I'll tell
my
you that.
Favorite.
People went nuts for you guys.
It was my favorite costume I've ever done. Jen Sturger and I wore Slash and Axl Rose, and it literally was one of those things. It was last minute. We weren't even going to go out, and I was like, why don't we be Slash and Axl? I have all the stuff to be Axl basically already in my apartment, and Slash is so easy. You just need a top hat.
Yeah, that's it.
And then I wore underwear. It was a great time.
Yeah, you guys looked rad. Like, people were very excited.
You know what's so dope is after your party, we went to this club called One Oak in Hollywood. And Snoop Dogg was there.
Oh, my God.
And Snoop Dogg was dressed as a little baby, okay? He was dressed as a little baby, and it was the fucking funniest. He had on a baby bonnet, baby pajamas, a huge bib, and a pacifier. And he's like, partying in One Oak like a
holy
boss
shit.
In a baby costume.
Oh, my God.
I saw so many celebrities this Halloween because I went to the Maxim party, and I saw Chris Brown.
God.
So we were at, okay. All right, I should tell this story.
That's amazing.
We're at Dan Bilzerian's table.
What?
At the Maxim party. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, we show up at the Maxim party. I didn't know Jen is friends with Dan from Florida. So we were at his table. First of all, he is hot as fuck. I didn't know how hot he is in person. The dude is shredded. He's got a six pack. And then, of course, his table was just like his Instagram. It was just like all the hottest girls you've ever seen, just all trying to get like a piece of him. But what's so funny is I take a walk around the Maxim party with Dan Bilzerian, and this just shows you how much like times are changing. We got stopped by probably 200 people like, hey, can I get a photo with you? Guys, too, can I get a photo with you? I love you. My wife loves you. My girl loves you. Whatever, right?
Yeah.
Everyone knows who he is.
Yeah.
Fast forward a couple hours later, Vin Diesel comes, and the girl I'm with is good friends with him. So we're hanging out with Vin Diesel. We take a walk around the party. Not one person recognizes, stops him for a photo, nothing. And I just think it's so crazy that we're like that, how much society has changed.
Well, you know what I, you know what it feels like too, is that like people that are in, that are like Instagram famous,
yeah,
and like YouTube famous and stuff like that, if they feel very accessible. So you see
That's
them
it.
And you immediately go, oh my God, it's this guy from this thing. Like I know. Like I am a big fan of Dan. Yeah. I follow him on Instagram.
I love him. He's
I
funny.
Love
so
to hang
funny.
Out with that guy.
Yeah.
What a cool person to hang
really
out
nice,
with.
Really nice, yeah.
Vin Diesel, it's like, Vin Diesel's like a movie star.
You know
it
what,
seems
though?
Weird.
He's like, so cool.
Yeah.
He's so funny.
I've never met him. I'm a huge Vin Diesel fan.
But he's small.
You know.
He's little. He's like me little.
Maybe he looks so much bigger on screen, people aren't looking for him.
I think that's what it is. I think people just didn't recognize him because he's a little guy.
That's weird.
He's really funny and nice and sweet, and yeah, he was really cool.
That's really neat.
But he's there. Then also Chris Brown was there. And Chris Brown had just a line of chicks trying to get at him. And I'm like, have you bitches heard what he does to women?
Did you talk to Chris Brown?
I didn't talk to him. He was just next to us dancing.
I talked to Chris at Playboy Mansion a couple of years ago. We ended up hanging out all night. He is so, it's so weird. He is, he has charisma.
He does?
He will, in 5 minutes, you'll be like, why has anybody ever had a problem with this guy? He's the nicest, sweetest guy. What a sweet guy.
You know what?
And you're like, wait a second, I've read all these things. I've seen pictures. I know that he's done. There's horrible things. It's just, he has charisma. He's very charismatic. He's very sweet.
Huh.
And he makes you feel like he really is listening to everything you're saying. And you're like, you're like, what's going on? What is this? Because he came up to me at the party and was like, we were all joking about when I smoked weed with Snoop Dogg and cried. And Snoop was there, and so everyone was kind of, we were all kind of making fun of me for it. And he was like, yo, man, it's cool. I cried too. And then he put his arm around me.
Did
and he
say
was
it
like,
in, a,
yeah.
in like a gay voice like
yeah,
that?
Well, he was like, I cried too. You don't have to worry. Just hang with me, man. And I was like, well, okay. And then he was very nice the whole night. And I was like,
you know
what?
This is weird. I'm not surprised that he's really nice, because the thing is, he's not attractive in person. He's not that cute. I didn't really know what he looked like, to be honest with you.
Sure.
Like, I never really looked that much at photos of him. He's not that cute, so he has to have charisma to be getting like Rihanna's. Do you know what I mean? Like, to be getting pulling like that kind of tail.
He's been around. He's been around.
Wow.
These guys. Who knows?
Well,
who
I just...
Who knows? I had a situation. You want to hear a fun situation? You're going to love this. This is a serious fail.
Yes.
The other night, there was a charity event for, we'll say cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy.
Why are we making up the...
I'm going to make up a charity.
Okay.
I'm making up a charity.
Cerebral Palsy Foundation.
It was a charity for like a cerebral palsy type situation.
Send money.
It was, yeah, send money. Just
to cerebral palsy.
Go to cerebralpalsysituation.com.
Okay.
That is definitely what it was. It's not anything else. No, so it was something like that. So we get there, and it's this charity thing. I'm just not saying the real thing just because I don't want to, you know,
incriminate
anybody. Yeah. But... So I get there. It's for Halloween.
Uh-huh.
I'm dressed up as
I saw you.
Vince Neil from Motley Crue.
It's dope.
And Rachel's dressed up in her gorgeous outfit, and we're having everyone's in costume and stuff, and it's jam packed. It's a very classy place. It's in downtown Los Angeles. People paid like $300 a plate to like go in and have this dinner, and they have a big band on stage, like a live big band. Okay. You know, a whole, you know, the bop, 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 you know, like the trumpets and things, right? And saxophones, right? So there's a guy and he's singing, and people are different singers are getting up and singing and stuff. And, you know, most of the room is in their 60s,
yeah,
I'd say, except for a couple of like celebrity type couples. And so it's like our table is like the younger people for the most part,
right,
who are like the celebrity type sorts, you know, from different random shows and things. So, anyways, near the end of the night, my girl turns to me and she goes, "You should get up and sing with the band."
Okay.
And I was like, "Oh, I don't know." She goes, "Come on, get up and get up on stage and sing a song. Come on, for me, come on, just get up and sing." And I go, "I don't know." She goes, "I go, maybe." She goes, "I'll go ask for you, okay?" And I go, "All right." So she walks over to the woman who's in her 60s, who's like running the event. And she goes, "Can my boyfriend sing a song?" And they go, "Oh, which one's your boyfriend?" "Oh, that guy." "Sure, of course. No problem. Right? So I'm like, "Okay, all right." And come back, and word starts to spread. I see other women from the organization are coming over. "Oh, I hear you're getting up. Very exciting. Well, we're all waiting for you. Room starts to empty out, and it's still like a good chunk of people in this 60-year-old range. A good 40, 50 people are still in the room.
Okay.
And they go, "Yeah, come on up and sing a song." So I come up to the stage, and they're like, "What do you want to sing?" And I go, "I'm going to sing Almost Like Being in Love." All right. It's a song, great song. I got to sing this song. Big band song. So they know the song, right? I had to pick something that they would know. So they started playing, and I'm like, "What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in love." I look down to see where my girlfriend is. She's no longer sitting at the table. The 60-year-old something women have pulled her out into the middle of the dance floor, put her in a chair.
Oh.
She does not look comfortable. Everybody is staring at her. And they're surrounding her. These people we don't know. And they're staring at her, and they're staring at me. And they're staring at her, and I'm like, "What's going on here?" So I sing the whole song, finish the song, get off stage, give her a kiss, okay? And I go, "Thanks a lot, guys." Walk off. Different singer gets up, and we go back to our table. We go, "All right, let's pack our stuff up." She goes to the coat room to go get her coat. I go outside to call Uber, right, to go come pick me up. I go outside, and the lady who runs the foundation walks up to me, and she goes, "What is the matter with you?"
What?
And I go, "What?" And she goes, "What is the matter with you? What is wrong with you? Why would you do that?" And I go, "Why would I do what?" She goes, "I set it up perfectly for you to ask her to marry you."
Holy shit.
"I put the chair. I put her in the chair." "Why did you do? Why don't you know anything?" And I go, "What are you talking about?" She goes, What is wrong with you?
Oh my God.
We set it up. We put her in the chair. Everyone was expecting it. You ruined the night."
No way.
And I go, "Ma'am, we don't know each other, you and I. Like, we've never met. You don't know what I'm thinking and what I'm planning on doing. Why would you expect that would happen?" "Well, I mean, that's what people do. You know, that's what people... Why? What? Oh, you ruined the night." Wanders away. I'm like, "Holy shit!
You ruined the night."
Two women come up to me, in their 60s, and they go, "Did you have fun tonight?" I go, "Yeah, I did." They go, "Yeah, your costume's great." I go, "Oh, thanks so much." They go, "Why don't you pull the trigger?" And I go, "What are you talking about?" And they go, "You know, you really missed your chance. You really missed your chance." And I was like, "What, you think that's the plan? You think my big plan was for a bunch of women I don't know to decide that I'm going to marry this girl or ask her to marry in front of a room full of people I don't know at a cerebral palsy event on Halloween? Are you kidding me? What kind of bizarre person do you think I am that I'm like, oh, I've been waiting. Oh. 5 years I've been with this girl, almost 5 years. Better plan it out. Where I'm going to take her to an event for cerebral palsy, where everyone's
dressed as
sad.
Vince Neil.
Yeah, dressed as Vince Neil in a wig. I'm gonna bring. Oh man! Like, what kind of crazy shit? It's so weird.
Did you tell Rachel?
Well, she comes out and I go, "Did you have a good time?" She goes, "Yeah, it was really nice." I go, "You ready to have your night ruined?" And then I told her in the car, and she laughed. So
that
hard.
Is so
she
funny.
Was like, "Who are these people? These women that would think that they just..." It was so weird, man. It was great, but it was such a fail too, because it was just like, you know, you're like, I thought that I had the night. I thought I was like, I did a nice thing. I sang a song, you know. But no.
I think it's sweet.
Well,
that you sang.
Whole, it was a whole situation.
But you should have proposed. So
oh, thanks a lot.
Yeah,
thanks,
no problem.
Quigley. Thanks, real nice.
Fuck. Well, shit. I'm trying to think if there's anything to update you on.
Yeah. What's happening with you? Who are you?
God.
Who are you?
I'll give you my only real update, but it's so bad. This is the best fail. Okay, I'll tell it as a fail. Ugh. Okay. Remember, no. The guy I've had labeled in my phone as No forever. I do a joke about him on stage.
Is he a guy I know?
He's a guy you know.
Right.
Okay. So it has been 2 years since No and I have hooked up.
Right.
But, you know, for that whole 2 years, he's been like a little bit of the thorn in my side because every once in a while he'll reach out to me or I'll reach out to him and we'll start kind of flirty texting again. But then the funny thing is we'll always start fighting before we even have sex and sure. It ends again. It's yeah. Crazy. It's
amazing.
Fucking crazy. So it's been 2 years. And finally, I have not texted him in about 6 months. No, I take that back. Like 4 months. About 4 months, I finally, because I was dating the porn guy, and I just was kind of like, I had another toxic distraction, so I was done with No. I was
yeah,
done.
Sure,
right?
I get that.
But I had reached out to him a couple times for business purposes, like, hey, do you want to work on this thing with me, whatever, because he's very talented. And the last time I texted him to work on a project, he wrote back, Kate, I don't want to be friends with you or work with you in any capacity. I want nothing to do with you.
Whoa, geez.
That was like 4 months ago. And I was like, okay, fuck yourself, bye. And that was it. We stopped talking, right?
Jeez.
But I'm the kind of person that I don't like to have animosity. I like to be friends with all my exes. I like to be friends with everyone. So in the back of my mind, I'm like, one of these days we'll work it out. So he texts me about 2 weeks ago. I probably shouldn't tell this story because people know who he is, but that's fine. He texted me like 2 weeks ago and he was like, hey, I need a hot girl to play a stripper for this thing that I'm shooting, and you're the first person I thought of, which I couldn't decide if I should be offended or flattered.
Yeah, that's a little bit of both. A little bit of both.
Right. But so he goes, are you up for it? So remember the last time I reached out to him, he was such a dick to me. But in my mind, I was like, oh, this is the perfect opportunity to win. Because all I really care about is winning in the end, right?
Of course.
That's all we want. Yeah. So I'm like, this is perfect because I can show up. He hasn't seen me in a few months. We haven't seen each other in a few months. I can show up in a hot stripper outfit, be super funny, like bro him out, be like, good to see you, bro, you know, and then just friend zone the fuck out of him, leave like I'm totally over him
yeah.
and win. And then he'll be all like blue balls and be like, oh, she looks so good, whatever.
Right.
So that's my plan. So I'm so excited. I'm like telling all my friends, I'm like, this couldn't be better. Like, this is a golden opportunity.
Yeah.
I go, I wear like this total hot stripper outfit. Oh, it turns out in the sketch, I'm giving a lap dance to another guy. And I can totally tell because he's kind of like, hey, that's good. You guys don't need to be that touchy. You don't really need to sit on him like that much. Like, it was so funny because
oh,
I could kind of tell. Yeah. So it was awesome. So I totally won.
It's amazing.
So I leave, you know, and then he texts me like, thanks so much for doing it. I'm like, yeah, no problem. You know, great time. Good to see you. He's like, you too, whatever. Until it backfired. It totally backfired because once I saw him, I kind of wanted to bang him. You know how there's those people in your life?
Yeah.
The sex is so good that no matter what, it's been 2 years and I'm still like, oh, fuck. I kind of want to bang him. So I got a little buzz and I texted him one night and was like, am I crazy? Or do you still feel like there's a little something? And he's like, yeah, I feel it too. But what can you do? We can't hook up. You know what happens. I'm like, I know. But now we've been texting ever since then, like the flirty texting.
Oh,
but here's the thing. He's like, I really want to hang out with you. He's like, I miss hanging out with you. I want to hang out, but no sex. And
yeah,
and I said, I don't think that's possible. If we hang out, you're going to want to fuck me. And he was like, I'm not a savage. And I was like, okay, let's try it. So now I've set this challenge where we're supposed to hang out and not hook up.
Shit.
And he's not, and it's toxic, and I know we'll start fighting again, and we shouldn't, but it's like, I can't help it. So That's where my life is at. But that's fail because this was supposed to be like my big win.
Win.
It was supposed to be my win. And now somehow I've opened Pandora's box. And then it all fell apart last night because I sent him a photo of me in a turkey suit. I got drunk and I sent him a photo of me in a turkey suit. And I said, I'm only going to send you photos that make you not want to fuck me.
That's great.
Yeah. And he wrote back, I don't know if that will work. So this is where we're at. We're just flirting.
Yeah.
I'm going to bang him. I'm pretty sure.
Well, look, you get to decide if you bang him or not. It's not up to him, Kate.
He doesn't want. He said no.
He's a lying sack of
shit.
He's
lying, right?
He's lying.
No guy wants to hang out.
No. He's trying to play hard to get.
It's working.
And yeah, I know.
It's making me want him more.
Yeah. Ugh. But it's just such a game. It's like, don't fuck. Don't.
I probably won't.
I mean, if you want to fuck him, fuck him.
No, I don't.
You know, but don't let him.
I want to win. So here's what I have to do. I have to make plans to hang out with him and look super hot and then not fuck him.
Yeah.
Like, just like, kind of like, be like, you wanted to be friends, bro, and then leave.
Yeah.
That's what I have to do.
Yep.
That's the mission for the weekend.
What I would do if I were you is set yourself up in a way, for a date type situation that literally couldn't end in sex.
Right, like out in public.
Like, here's what you do. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Set the date with him on a night where you have a late night spot somewhere.
It's a good idea.
So that go like, yeah, we're going to go and have a little bite to eat. And then you go out to eat or you go do something nice together. And then at the end of it, you're like, yeah, I got to go do my show. Bye. And you just bounce.
Yeah, that's how I win.
And then
I can still win.
Then you can put all that energy into the set from that night, and it might help. It might help burn it off a little bit. I don't know. That's weird. That's some crazy shit. I've had experiences like this where there was like a girl that I would, you know, I'd bang who lived in another city or lived far away, and I would have to like drive down to her, and it was always off. Like I knew that she was bad news, but I would do it anyways.
I know. You know what it is? He's the only guy that matches my level of crazy. It surpasses. He's crazier. He's crazy. He's crazy. And I can't help it. There's something about crazy guys. Yeah. I want to tame them.
Yeah.
I
want
to tame them. I want to crack that whip.
I know. You're. I just, I, you know, no, I get it. I get it, Kate. You're too good. You're too good for these assholes.
I'll be fine. I'm not worried. I'm so single now. Everything is good.
I'm so happy for
you. I'm happy. I'm happy too.
And flirting is really fun and
great. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, we talked for a whole hour. We did an hour.
Wow.
This has been amazing.
Oh, my God.
We have to talk real quickly about the nighttime show. This episode will come out tomorrow.
Yeah. Right.
So when's your next nighttime show?
Nighttime show, next one, live show.
Well, you have the Nighttime Show podcast. You guys have to listen to Glickman's podcast, The Nighttime Show, which is amazing.
The Nighttime Show podcast.
And you have a Nighttime Show live. His show is at the Hollywood Improv. It's once a month. It's so fun.
Yeah, next show is the 26th, November 26th, and that's Quincy Jones is going to be on the show, and a lot of other really exciting, wonderful comedians from
your show
hometown.
Is always dope.
Thanks. It's our Thanksgiving show, so it's Thanksgiving weekend. We'll be doing turkey and...
I have a turkey suit if you want to borrow it.
Oh, my God. Do you really?
Yeah. It's small, though. It might not fit you.
Well,
it's me.
No, maybe we can put Fat Robbie in it or something like that.
Yeah, it's really little.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's great.
It'd be great.
Yeah.
We'll do a turkey thing.
Turkey
That'd be great.
Suit.
Yeah, and then we have our Christmas show is the 17th of December, which is going to be a lot of fun. And the podcast is doing well. It's been fun. We just had E.G. Daly on the show, who was... Pee-wee Herman's girlfriend in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's kind of neat. What I've been trying to do, which is weird, is we've been trying, it's not weird, but it's kind of fun. We've been trying to get people on the show who are like a little older in their like, you know, 50s, 60s, because then we can just.
They have great stories.
They have great stories from their history of stuff.
Yeah.
Because you know, sometimes having some, there's people like you and me that every day we have like a new story that's ridiculous. But, you know, like, you ever sit down with someone and you're like trying to figure, you know, like, how did you get started? And they're like, I started doing stand up 3 years ago. And you're like,
yeah.
I want to kill myself. So we've been trying to have some older folks. We just had Rich Scheidner on the show.
Okay.
Who's. He did Carson, Johnny Carson, 14 times.
Oh,
so it was neat.
Shit.
He actually walked us through one day of what it was like to do the Carson.
That's so dope. I love that too.
It was neat.
It's like I had Don Marrera on. Same
oh
thing.
My God.
So many stories. He was on Golden Girls twice.
No!
And he played two different people.
Oh my God.
I just like that kind of shit.
I
just,
love that
I
stuff.
I do too.
That stuff's always so much fun.
Yeah.
So everything's good.
Good.
I adore you, and I'm so happy to get to spend time with you.
Same. I miss you. Well, everyone follow, if you don't, Stephen Kramer Glickman. It's at Stephen Glickman on Twitter. Is it on Instagram?
Yeah, it's at Stephen Glickman on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Don't forget to check out Jen Sturger's side boob. I'm sorry. Kate Quigley's Instagram pictures from Halloween.
Yeah, they were so dope. Follow me at Kate Q Funny. And you're the best. Thank you so
much
for being here.
You're
love you guys.
Best. Bye.
Bye.